podcast from the Ruffed Grouse Society in association with the American Woodcock Society. Now your host.
I'm Matt Solberg, RGS Director of Communications, and on the show today we have...
Welcome to the drummer...
Steve Grossman from Little Moran Hunt Club and Double Gun Bird Hunts. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it. Now, Steve is a longtime grouse hunter and grouse guide, and also a longtime RGS member and RGS supporter. Today, we're going to talk about Steve's support for RGS from the membership perspective and the reason why he thinks being involved with the RGS mission is important. We're also going to get into some grouse hunting tips and also possibly some bird dog discussion as well. For folks that don't know, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, this has been my 27th year in operating a Rough Grouse and Woodcock camp in Staples, Minnesota. In truth, I really kind of cut my teeth on the grouse dogs when I was training for Burnt Creek setters in Bismarck. And the setters that was back in 85 and 86, and we started our camp in 87. And that really was a big part of me getting started was working with the Grouse Society, RGS, up at the National Grouse and Woodcock Hunt. And, you know, we had some good success with our dogs, and it went from there. So, you know, the RGS means a lot to me in that regard. The Rough Grouse and Woodcock have given me a great deal, and we want to help give it back where we can, whether it be in donations, memberships, any way we can, sponsoring, holding youth days and different things to try to just preach the word of what the RGS is all about. And it's not just timber cutting. It's, you know, it's a lot of other non-game species that benefit from the Rough Grouse Society as well. So it's my number one conservation group, and, you know, it's a great group to work with.
That's great, Steve. We appreciate that. I know you've sort of been an ambassador for the sport of grouse hunting. Fill us in a little bit about the Little Moran Hunt Club and what you do there in Staples, Minnesota.
Well, we started in 84, came back to a family farm and turned it into the shooting preserve. And prior to that, I was in Grand Forks, North Dakota, managing the Dakota Hunt Club. And I cut my teeth on all the dog training there. When we came back and started the farm in 84, I had about 10 German Shorthairs that were my guide string that I was running the shooting preserve with. And, you know, where we're located in central Minnesota, we've got a good grouse population right on the farm. And it was during that time that I became the lead trainer at Burnt Creek Setters in Bismarck. And the setters, it was like a transformation. Watching those setters handle the rough grouse and the woodcock that we had on the farm, it was evident that when I was going to start my guiding business with the grouse and woodcock, that the setters were my breed of choice, and it has been since 87. We hunt in central Minnesota at the farm. All our hunts are all inclusive, but the guys that come in and hunt with us, they're not guys that need to shoot a limit. These guys, they're guys that are there for the overall experience, that love grouse hunting and to be in the woods and to watch the dogs. And so in short, that's what Little Moran is. We're a grouse and woodcock camp. We breed and train English setters. We train all pointing breeds, but our niche are the English setters.
Yeah, that's great. So is the double gun bird hunts, is that sort of the guide portion of your operation there?
Portion of the operation at the hunt club was all pheasant shooting to begin with, and it kind of started with in adding some grouse hunts with some of the guys who would come in and pheasant hunt. And then my thought was, well, you know, we can extend their season a little bit and offer some pheasant hunting when our grouse hunters came in. But in over all these years, we've not had anybody that once they come here to hunt rough grouse with us, these guys are dyed in the wool. They're here to hunt grouse, and they're very committed grouse hunters. So you know, I've got a couple other guys. The maximum we'll have are 8 guns in camp. I've got 4 other guys that guide for us. And so it's, you know, it's a very quality experience, and it's not just in taking game, but it's more or less how the game is taken and how we take the birds.
I'm glad you mentioned that. What is it about grouse hunting that gets these guys hooked?
The bulk of all our grouse hunters that come in, the guys have been coming to hunt with us for 23, 24, 25 years. They're just committed to the sport. The grouse is king, and they love the challenge of the bird. They love the colors in the fall. They like the smell of rotting leaves, you know, on a swamp edge. They like the explosiveness of a flush. You know, these guys, we're one of their stops in many of their places throughout the, you know, Europe and the United States when they bird hunt. And the rough grouse is has won their hearts as being the game bird, a challenging bird, and it's a trophy. Each grouse is a trophy, and that's no question.
I think you're exactly right, and when you say the word challenge, I think that really sums up a lot about what people like about grouse hunting. It's not easy. You know that more than most. It's not an easy sport. There's not always, you're not always going to be successful when you go out in the grouse woods, but when you do sort of overcome the challenge, there's days when I come home with one bird, and I am just tickled. I'm very happy about that. I feel like I had a good experience. Do you see it sort of the same way when you overcome that challenge and you get to experience some of the other things that the grouse wood presents? Do you feel pretty good about that?
No question. That's what I guess I'm very fortunate with the type of guys that come to hunt with us, that they're putting the overall experience is first and foremost. Do they like to pull the trigger? Absolutely. It's unfortunate at times a bird has to be shot in the process because it's such a grand bird, it's such a great bird. But that goes hand in hand, and so we're all sportsmen. And because the grouse is such a challenge, they live in an area that it challenges you to get to them. Yes, you can shoot a grouse off a logging trail, or you know, a young dumb bird goes into a tree. They can be awful stupid at times. However, the birds are such a challenge. They start running more. They learn to beat the dogs. It's a great experience to hunt rough grouse and woodcock the way we hunt birds. And this last fall, we had a new guy in, and he hunted all over the world. And he said, you know, this grouse hunt, he says, will rank in the top three of hunts that I've ever been on. We had a great combination of grouse and woodcock. And again, it wasn't just in taking birds, but it was the experience, lots of birds in the air, lots of dog work, just a complete picture of what a grouse hunt should be. And it's a pretty special place to be in the fall of the year.
Along those same lines, I'm sure you have some repeat hunters that come through, but are you seeing some new hunters, you know, guys that have never really experienced grouse hunting before? Are you seeing some of those guys come through? And if you do you guide them a little differently or try to educate them a little bit on the sport of grouse hunting?
Yeah, without question. We're fortunate, you know, we've got a number of young guys that are coming in I have two sons that are in their late 20s and early 30s, and these guys, they cut their teeth chasing grouse. But to see younger guys really get bit by the grouse bug, I think still for so many of these people, it's the challenge. The grouse will put you into places where you need to step it up a little bit. And so those that come in that want to hunt hard will hunt hard, as hard as they want to go. And some of the guys, you know, they'll come in, they're new shooters that have to learn to navigate the woods. And that's always a big thing, is to learn how to get through the cover. We take our time, you know, we'll adjust the type of dogs that we hunt with those shooters. It doesn't do us any good to have a dog, you know, out there 100 yards or 50 yards and the guys can't get to them. So we adjust our dogs to match the style of the hunter. And so there's a lot of times we'll stop and point out what gray dogwood is, and high bush cranberries or hazel catkins or wild strawberry. And so it's an educational standpoint in the same. These are areas where birds live, and oftentimes, you know, a grouse is an edge bird. And when you get into a young aspen cut or a clear cut that butts up to an older cut, that's an edge within the woods, within a grouse cover. And so those things are pointed out. So, yeah, we try to teach and help everyone to get the most of everything that comes out with a grouse hunt. Our biggest challenge, is, I'm sure you've known and seen, is that for new shooters in the grouse woods, they're always waiting for a better shot. And you get a glimpse at your bird, and that's your shot. So, you know, we have some issues where people have difficulty pulling the trigger because it's not a wide-open shot. However, it's still a very hittable shot with the grouse, and that's where the dogs come into play.
Being able to find covers, good grouse habitat, takes experience. You can't just walk through the forest anywhere and expect to flush grouse. You really have to know the pinpoint spots where you're going to find them. And that might be some little difficult for new hunters to figure out. It takes experience to get to that point. Do you believe in sort of the idea of mentoring young hunters to try to help them along, overcome that barrier to maybe the challenge of grouse hunting and get them started right from the beginning?
The great thing about what we've been able to do at Lou Moran is we've done a lot of youth events. We did a lot with the Rough Grouse Society out of the Grand Rapids chapter. We put on a number of youth events, help out at Deep Portage when they have the bird camp, the Upland Bird Camp, with Mark and Sophie Hagen at Pine Shadows, and working with Mark Fultz and the guys from the RGS. To see a youngster get a bird or get a shot at a bird and see how it all comes together, I mean, it's huge. It's very rewarding. But in the same sense, you hit it on the head that you just can't go for a walk in the woods and expect to find grouse. And so it's learning to identify habitat. It's learning about grouse cover. And here again is, you know, one of the things that, you know, that I know the Rough Grouse Society is so focused on is the importance of young cutting and young growth. And we don't always find all our birds in young aspen cuts, but a large percentage of our birds are. So those are all important things, and when we can describe den density or the size of an aspen clear cut or the age of an aspen clear cut to describe it as, you know, the size of your thumb or a broom handle, where this is the kind of cover you look for, and swamp edges and high water table areas and different places where, you know, at least it's a high percentage place where you should find grouse. But those are all different parts and different things that, you know, that make up the grouse hunt. And, you know, a drummer in the springtime and giving kids a chance to get out and see how these drummers go and how everything is done.
Talking seasonal issues, what are you doing in the spring? Are you doing some dog training this time of year, chasing any woodcock, dog training on woodcock or anything like that? What are you doing this time of year?
I've been heavily involved in banding woodcock with our dogs in the springtime. What it does, it gives us a chance to give a little something back. We can record the birds and help with banding chicks. So it gives us a chance to put something back and to help out a little bit without having to harvest any birds, learn more about the woodcock. So there's a lot of positive things, you know, that you can do to help your young dog come along. And this time of the year, primarily, it's all dog work is what I'm focused on.
Then moving into summer, what are some things you do to maybe get your dog prepared or get yourself prepared?
Swimming is a great sport. You know, if you've got a dog that likes the water, you can get in the water with them. It's a great all-around body exercise. You know, the conditioning is a big part of it. And, you know, my involvement with Purina, I've learned a great deal about dog nutrition and even where to keep a dog, you know, in body weight and condition that way. You know, if the dog gets overweight, they're going to have issues as the fall comes along. And so it's that conditioning as best you can, whether you bicycle, take your dog for runs, any kind of conditioning like that to get them ready for the fall is going to be it sure doesn't hurt. And it's good for you as well.
How about on the shooting side of things? Are there things that you do in the spring or summer to keep sharp on your shooting when getting prepared for the fall season?
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because a couple of our guys, we got a guy that comes in from Virginia that he's got a great shooting course on his own, and all his shooting is done like he's walking in over point, nothing to the shoulder. He shoots sporting clays. He shoots from the hip, or not from the hip, but he's at port arms, and when he calls for the bird, he'll mount the gun and shoot that way. It's what it does. I think one of the biggest things in being a good grouse hunter is being able to focus on the flush of the bird and concentrate. The instant you hear the flush, that you can focus on that direction, because those couple seconds can make or break you having a shot at a bird. So the same thing holds true with sporting clays. Is if you're in a situation where you may not be able to see the target come right away, but you hear the trap launch the target, for you to focus and key on the sound of that and then pick the bird up coming out of that is much like a grouse flush, and being able to pick the bird up, you know, in that kind of cover. Everything we shoot is we mount the gun on the flush instead of walking in with a gun already mounted, and it just helps us prepare that way. It's more of a snap shooting sport than anything. I think that too many people at times are shooting too tight a choke in the grouse woods, you know, something nice and open, skeet, improved cylinder. That makes a difference. I think in the same sense, lighter gun is important to get through the cover in the fall of the year. You don't need a big heavy 12. You know, the bulk of your shots are going to be under 30 yards. So with that in mind, you know, a 20 or a 28 is much lighter, 16, going through the cover, and you're not as tired at the end of the day either. So those all add to, you know, to helping you become a better grouse hunter.
As far as shot size, what do you like to use in the grouse woods?
Most of all, our guys shoot a 7.5. And the reason of it is, you know, you're filling, you're enough BBs to fill the pattern. The 7.5 has got a lot of foot-pounds energy yet, and there's good density when they do strike a bird. We've shot 8 at times, and with woodcock and different things, you know, I know that there's some new woodcock loads out that are even 9s and 10s. And, you know, they'll all get the job done. Any shell, if you put the gun where it's supposed to, and you pull the trigger right, and everything is, I mean, you know, the bird should come down. There are times that I've seen with some of our less experienced grouse hunters that if they're shooting a smaller shot, they're wounding more birds. And so we encourage for the most part that 7.5 is really our shot of choice.
Now I'd like to move on to bird dogs a little bit. You made an interesting comment that I'd be remiss to not get back to about you found setters to find and hold grouse pretty well. I'm interested to get your thoughts on that.
It's not so much the setter, but the English pointer, the Brittany Spaniel. There are a lot of very good short hairs and continental breeds that have certain tendencies or certain traits that have an ability to point and hold rough grouse. And in all these years with all the training I've done, I will get a very common issue or problem that people have. The dog will get birdie winded, and then they want to take a couple more steps and get in just a little bit closer, and then the bird flushes. When we're working with dogs like the setter, the pointer, Whitney, and really, really good grouse dogs, the first thing I look for in any pointing breed is when a dog encounters that scent cone, first thing their brain tells them is to stop and point. They don't need to get any closer. It's when the dog makes game, and then they slow down and want to take those few steps in to win the bird and get just that much more of a direct scent cone of that bird, that they end up flushing it. For me, the setters has a tendency to set back, and they point the birds a lot further off. On the negative side of that, at times you will end up with unproductive points. I would much rather err on the side of caution when I'm with my clients where the dog may be pointing a bird 30, 40 yards off, and as we come through it, then I'll release the dog and let the dog relocate until the dog can pin the bird. So that's really kind of what I'm looking for in a grouse dog, is a dog that's very quick to point, that they don't need a bird right under their nose to point, and I want them pointing them off a fair distance from the dog. And then at that point, I think the big thing is it's been our success with our dogs, their manners, that once they stop the point, we don't allow them to go anywhere from that point on. We'll go in and investigate, attempt to flush, and if the bird has moved on, we'll relocate the dog and let the dog relocate. I think that, in a sense, is a big issue. Retrieving is always an issue that comes into play, and I guess I look at it, oftentimes the dogs which are really strong natural retrievers, or breeds which are strong natural retrievers, I think have a tendency to just push and crawl the bird a little bit more than a dog that doesn't.
When you're training a young dog, is that holding ability something that you can notice right away, or is that something that kind of comes with time?
Yes to both of those questions. You'll see it in some young dogs. The instant they hit that scent cone, they point, but they don't know why. That's the breeding. That's what God gave that puppy. So we're looking for that natural ability, that natural instinct. There are things which you can do. A lot of trainers and people use release traps that teach a dog if you get too close, the bird leaves and there's no point. So you can teach them to stand back or point off back off the bird. You know, in some of those situations, I like to see the dog, what I'm looking for, and where I gained this when I was training for Burn Creek with all the setters, when we keep our entire litters back, and we don't sell puppies, we would keep the entire litter, so I'd have 10 puppies to look at out of the same parents, and of that, you know, we'd have two or three dogs which are really going to be rock stars, and then the rest are going to be just okay and so-so to some dogs that just don't have the natural ability at all. They don't have that predator drive and that instinct. If they lack that instinct and that predator drive, there's not much we can do with them. If a guy's buying a dog for a gun dog and a hunting dog first, and they lack that, in most cases the family's become attached to the dog already, and so the dog stays in the family and doesn't have the natural ability to become a great grouse dog. Can dogs learn? You bet. They can learn. And many times I've had guys that'll come to me and say, geez, you remember that dog that you said was no good? He's turned into a great dog. And that's wonderful. It's just by being patient and giving the dog the opportunity, some of them will come into it on their own. But that natural instinct is, I mean, that's a driving force. That's number one. That's key.
I want to thank you for your support for the Rough Grouse Society, for being involved for a very long time and everything you do for the sport. If anyone was interested in maybe talking to you, you know, looking into your operation, or if they had any questions on grouse hunting or bird dogs, what would be the best way they could get a hold of you?
You can just go on our website at doublegunbirdhunts.com. steveGrossman.com. Google Steve Grossman. It's all listed under the search engines that way. And so I want to applaud the Rough Grouse Society, and I applaud with the new endeavor with the Woodcock Society, and I know that's going to be a big success. And it's our duty to, and kind of being a steward of the bird and steward of the cover, to give back where we can. So I'd like to thank you guys too for inviting me to be part of the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks again. We really appreciate it, and thanks for your time today.
You're welcome, Matt. Thanks. All the best, and thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drummer Podcast from the Ruffed Grouse Society, in association with the American Woodcock Society. Find out more at ruffedgrousesociety.org.